So they are thousands, and thousands have names, by the teaching of which we can have the one subject only, and that is we can just pursue faith. It does not mean that the same your knowing repetition or remembrance of God by certain names, that is not required. That is required, you see, that is elementary steps. Why? What cause that is used? You see, the subconscious reservoir of our mind is filled with the impressions of the world. So my soul, that we dream the same things, see the same things in dreams, and also in a very deep sleep state, also through words automatically reverberate, come out of us automatically. So that is due to the fact the outer remembrance of the outer things has been so much so that our subconscious reservoir and mind is overflowing with that. That is the come out. So we have to first deplete. In the same way as we fill it, you see. We fill the reservoir of our subconscious mind by constant remembrance of the worldly things. So we can deplete that by constant remembrance of the Lord too. You might any name you like. But those names which are given by a competent master, they are charged that give you a quicker result. So for those things, you see, first thing is acquired by sweet remembrance of God. If you remember somebody, that your reaction will be there. If you himself for that, God sees that my child is after me. He just makes some arrangement to bring him in contact with somewhere where he can be put on the way. So it is God above who sees, reads our hearts. Those who are true seekers after God, they have not to seek him anywhere. Sometimes they have to go to the water tap for water. Sometimes the gardener himself brings you water and gives to the plants, you see. Somehow or other, God makes some arrangement to any child who is really hankering after him to bring in contact with his manifest, and that can be given in contact with God. So this is the first thing that is required. It is sweet remembrance of God. You find that Tennyson, poet, has given some description of it, you see. He says, a kind of waking thoughts I have frequently had quite from boyhood, when I have been all alone. This has generally come upon me through repeating my own name two or three times to myself silently, till all at once, as it were, out of the intensity of consciousness of individuality, the individuality itself seemed to dissolve and fade away into boundless being, and this not a confused state, but clearest of the clearest, the sweetest of the sweetest, the wisest of the wisest, utterly beyond words, where death was a laughable impossibility. The laws of personality, if so it were, seemingly but the only true life. I am ashamed of my feeble description. Have I not said that state is utterly beyond words? That's the work of the sweet remembrance of the Lord. You see? So first step is what to do. To whomsoever you want to meet, just have a sweet remembrance in your heart. That is what Christ said, let my words abide in you and you abide in me. Whomsoever you remember, let it be a reaction in that heart, you see, in your sweet, to remember God with all loving devotion, nothing to do reaction of God. In God, and God will make some arrangement to bring you in contact somewhere where you can be put on the way. So much your remembrance of the God be there that you dream of God. Even in your deep sleep state, you may also reverberate the very sweet names of God. Kabir says, if you find such a man somewhere, I am ready to give the skin of my body for preparing the shoes of his feet. So such an item, this is the, I mean the stepping stone and the means to the end, you see, that is what it is own, has its own function. Will not say, let your one tongue become million of tongues. And with million of tongues, let you repeat the name of God, seek remembrance of God millions of times. And such like remembrance that will come within you, that will be way back to God. Is it? So, both of the God in action power, which is called name, nam, and the words coined by the all rishis are saints to gain the path, they both have their own function, you see. By remembrance or constant repetition of the words which denote God, you just clear your mind with all worldly things, you see, and then you withdraw them also when you are absorbed in some sweet thought, naturally you become unconscious of the outside world. And further, if you are more concentrated at the seat of the throne, the body, as I explained to you the day before yesterday, that the seat of the throne in the body, that the eyes. Naturally, when you are just gone there completely, the whole body becomes numb. You rise above it, you see. This is the means to the end, that is the old function. In the teachings of the saints, you find this is the first step, have the sweet remembrance of God. For that, as I told you yesterday, the purity of life is required. Those who are attached to the outside things, they cannot have, I mean, the concentration, they will be dragged, their attention will be dragged all the time to the outward things to which they are attached. So first, step is sweet remembrance of the Lord with all loving devotion at the center of the soul in the body, which is behind the eyes. Then there should be some truth to stand on, you see. If you see nothing, naturally you'll come back. So, just to bring your attention inside to something that is called dhyana, meditation. And when you stay there for a while, that light sprouts, so the light of the world, thy world is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my body. By just coming in contact with the God in action power, the light smells those comparing to thousands of suns rising together. So this is what the process on the way. And that God power leads you to the place from where it emanates. So there are three steps. One is sweet remembrance of the Lord. First step to commence with. Then so much absorbed be there as I Newton was sitting by a roadside to get solving certain problems, you see, mathematical problems. He was so much involved in them that the band passed by him playing, you see. And later on somebody asked him whether a band had passed right this way. He said, I don't know. When you are taught, as an attention is so much involved with something, your outgoing faculty do not work. Even they are open. So this is natural way back to God. Start with the sweet remembrance of God with all attention, with all loving devotion. at the center of the soul in the body, you will withdraw inside. Light will come up to give you, just stay out there. And that is the expression of the God emission power and sound principle, which is the way back to God, to ultimate goal, which is absolute God, from where it emanates. So these are the functions of the teachings of the Master, three steps. One is God's sweet remembrance of God's human. The second is to stay there, what you call the heart. And third is the Nam Kanti, the Nam power, Sabda power of the world power, which is the lead you to the back to God from where it emanates. So these are the three sources by which you can reach back to God. There are two ways back. Also, Vedas say, Jyoti Marg and Shukti Marg. Jyoti Marg means the way of the light, and Shukti Marg is the way of the sound principle, light of God. Mohammedans also say the same thing. God is new light, and God is sound principle. So all masters who play the part, they refer to these two. This aspect of God, which is expressed in two ways, light and sound principle, that you contest only when you rise above body consciousness. And for that purpose, first the sweet remembrance of God is required at the seat of the soul in the body. And the second, it is just the physical going over there, to stay out, to bind your attention over there. When you stay there, light flows forth. That the expression and the sound also flow forth, you see. That the expression of his ordination power, when you come in contact with that, that leads to the soul from where it emanated, the absolute God. So, by repetitive sweet remembrance of the Lord, at the feet of the soul, you withdraw from outside, you withdraw from the body, rise above sentence at the back of the eyes. You see, all outward faculties and do it. The eyes, ears, nose, mouth, everything now. So this is what is called to the dogs and you. Who should see with what eyes we see that light? That is, this is not the eyes of the flesh or bone, but this is the light, eye, inner eye, what is called the soul eye. So that is why when our master came, they say, the light of the body is the eye. So when thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. This is what it says. By the eye be single, we have two eyes now, how the eye can become single? That's a practical experience given. This is what Tulsi also refers to the same thing. So when the two people stood at the eyes, you just draw your attention behind that, and you'll find darkness, and you penetrate to observe, you'll find the light of God. But how to penetrate through this dark veil, darkness, when that requires the help of somebody? So you can do what your own self, well and good. You do it. If you cannot do it, then you can seek the help of somebody who can give you, who is competent to give you what experience. Once the way that some day-to-day regular practice will do you up, this is what is spoiled to be born anew. Kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. It can be had within, because kingdom of God is within you. This is what is meant by stepping inside. As I must express it, here you'll find those darkness in the close your eye. That you are, you'll find, enter you at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many will be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, for there be that find it. Who there are with that? Is that as we sit here all life long with no way up? There are, of course, that's a good action. But how to penetrate this veil of darkness, this requires the help of somebody. Here truly our inner eye opens. This is what is required for to his disciples. Blessed are you that see things with your own prophets, and the righteous men could not see. You are blessed for you hear things with your own prophets, and the righteous men could not hear. So when you come to your master, you have this blessing, you see, this grace. The grounding thing soon helps you to raise you up the brain body and open the inner eye to see the light of God. Because there are nine approaches to the body. If you withdraw ourselves from the outside thing and inward, we see the light of God. This is like the conclusion of people say, as the master keeps the secret. No. They speak about it on the touch of the horses. But how to penetrate the dark, veil of darkness, this is required somebody to help. If anybody can do it himself, he is most welcome. A blind man needs only two eyes to see. Well, this is the price of the will of all, by all reasons. For a true Christian, one receives the light of God. A true Mohammedan, one who rises above the body consciousness and sees the light of God. A Sikh is true, the one who sees the light of God. Yeah. All masters say, in all religions, that's the ideal, set up with God. If we do not see, our inner eye is not open. And we do not see the light of God. Truly speaking, we are not. That we have not gained the true benefits by jagging with such a religion. So true religion starts from there. When you arrive with a body consciousness, where the world philosophy and where the religion starts. So truly this is the only way back to God. And that's the only way the masters have advocated, of course, for rising our body consciousness. We have got so many ways. Some are man-made ways, some are God-made ways. So man-made ways are difficult, that involve the control of breathing inside by doing kumkha, and then that's a long time away. We are heroic in our fit for those things. So this is the natural way, which is called Sukhyavad-yoga. The yoga is how Krishna. For that, this is something, you see, what is spoken, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Is it possible? The master say yes. St. Paul said, I die daily. And Guru Nanak said, learn to die 100 times a day at will. This is something very practical. You can have in life, in the chance, you light of God and hear the light of God. If some competent person, at whom point the God is working, to make him, you let from him this as a gift from him. The God is giving you a gift of that to start with. That's only the way we can start from there. That's not the end all or the be all. This is something substantial. Before you go to a master, you are dying because your inner eye is not open. You are dead because your inner ear is not open. When you come to him, he gives you a sitting, then inner eyes open, you come back with eyes. You see the light of God. You begin to hear the voice of God. You become not breath. So this is the blessing that you have at the feet of the master, you see. So this is what is done, told by us, so we have quite long. So this is all dependent on what? On a God-man, I would say. But body, they say, what the God-man says, that a God is within you. You see, body is the true temple of God. And you can find it as a true temple of God with the grace of a master. To find the outward things, outer places of worship are made after the man body, dome-shaped, all into temples. in cross shapes or nose shapes, all split. And the Korah shape, all Mohammedan, is your worship. And there you find the symbol of light and sky. That is to show that the two temples in the body, you are brought the light of the Son of God. These models are made to show us that such like light and such like sound principle is reverberating within you. And the masters, when you meet them, are competent to give you some experience to start with. And to develop more and more under his instructions to reach like God. So these are the things that we have brought, and we, if by God's grace, you come across such a God of man, a man in God, who is the, what is God man? God man is the mouthpiece of God. Holy men of God speak as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. Verily, verily I say unto thee, we speak that what we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. They said we have seen God. How do you see God? Well, when the, by His grace, when you sit by Him, you begin to see the light of God. So, all master word. Who is that God man? He is a world personified. The world was made flesh and branch among itself. So they feel that God inspires within them. They don't speak from the level of the intellect, but as inspired by God, you see? With all masters to whom, in whom that God power is manifest, they are always conscious that it is not we are telling what to say. We are conscious it is God father behind them that sees that. That says, he is not the man for son. So that is why all masters who came in the past, apparently to all intents and purposes, they appear like a man, like you. But you find their body working among the men. And but their souls are nearer to God, they are conscious of God. They see that it is God working through them. Their outer body appears to be bound in the world. But when they think, just concentrate, they have the competency to traverse into the high plane. So that is for that reason, never take all three masters, they are like son of man, you see, but they are something else, whose inner self, you might say, in tune with God, and God speaks to them. That is what Mohammedan saints say. The outwardly words come from their gullet, but it has the two words of God, which is something else. You see, they are almost perfect. And the master said, that whatever words come from within the man, from within the man without thinking, they are always perfect. So for that reason, apparently, he appears to be a man moving an earth. He appears to be dead bound in the body as we are. But he has the competency when he requires he can fly into the heavens, and also if he wishes to get all the other men's souls into the beyond. Similarly, he is brought openly to see like you, but he also can see beyond too, and we cannot see beyond. So apparently for all intents and purposes, he is God in man working, you see? He is man in God, you might say, and God is man working, you see. He has the competency. We close our eyes, it is all darkness. When you meet him, that veil of darkness is removed, and you see light. You bear testimony to it. The competency of the master lies only in this, in the fact that he is competent to remove the veil of darkness, and instead, give you some experience of light, which is light of God. So these are the things, you see, why when two masters met, naturally when you close your eyes, now it is darkness, then you always see light. And that is the beginning only, you see, not the end all. There's still further way up, stages by stages, unless you reach to the true home, your Father, with His help. He appears to be man outside. When you meet Him, when you go with Him, well, He is also competent to manifest Himself there. You see, Christ has prepared, thou will keep My commandments, they keep the commandments of God, God will treat with them, then I shall manifest Myself to that, you see. So, truly Master is one who has the consciousness to guide you outside too, and when you arrive in my body consciousness, He is competent to appear there too, to guide you. So Shams Tabriz, the Mahomedan saint, says, just take hold of the hand of somebody who is aware, who is conscious, who can guide you into physical world too, and when you arrive into beyond, while alive, or after death, He also never leaves you there. That is the God power, or the Christ power, or the Guru power. Which once you need from man's hold at which that power is working, He never leaves you, mind that. You may leave Him, but He will never leave you. So such are the, I mean, they are the competency, you see, they are the. Now in the government you find there are so many ministers. Each minister has his own portfolio. Is the final authority over there. For similarly, there are so many portfolio ministers in the court of God, you see. They are avatars, incarnations of God, who come to the world to set the world aright, punish the people, and they give appreciation to these good people, but they don't let them go out of their favor, you see. But the saints have got a portfolio. They are competent. Anybody who comes to Him as seeking, He just has the competency to raise his soul into the beyond. He gives you a new birth. So these are the things that we can have in the Master. Left foot can be given by any man after little training. There are lot of symbols of spiritual schools of rings can be learned from any man with a little training. How to say prayers or how to perform certain rites and rituals, that if any man with a little training can do it. But this is something quite different. How to rise above body consciousness, hope to be born anew. So such a life, the human soul at which God works, is called a master as saint. Also they leave the body, physical body. All masters had the physical body and they left it. But the God power working in them never left, you see. That like Christ said, I shall now leave you not for things until the end of the world. So when you come, you are fortunate to come across such a person. So he says, only such a man is worth calling himself a master. He can open your inner eye to see the light of God, which is beyond the outgoing faculty, above the senses. Now go and find out, please, wherever you can. The way has been, I think, very well explained, very openly. The expression will remain that how to penetrate beyond this dark, the veil of darkness. So such like persons, you see, when they come, they are born intoxicated. They have got their radiation. And the radiation has a power to come within that area, field of action, you see. That field of action can work on the people who are brought to church, their moods. They may be sitting thousands of miles from them, still that radiation works, you see. If you can try traveling to radio from thousands of miles, why can't you receive the help from a living master who has that competency? In whom that God power is working. He is all in love, mind that. God is love and what is master. Christ said, I am the light. I am the life. I am the love. So God is that qualification, and the God, what we say, manifested of man, in man, also has the same qualification. You see, that's God. He loves all. He is conscious. Our consciousness, which has become morbid by just identifying ourselves under the outgoing faculties, with the outgoing faculties, he has the power to raise it to more conscious. And he is light, he makes us feel light.
Hello, and welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. That recording was the last half of Master's talk given on October 9th, 1963, in Boston, Massachusetts, and it was called Lecture at Second Baptist Church. Our reader this evening is Christine Clevenger. Hello, Christine.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight's reading is a continuation from The Teachings of Kripal Singh, Volume 1, The Holy Path, in the chapter called The Way Out, Guru, the Greatest Gift of God. What greater boon can a man seek from God but restoration to the kingdom lost by him? It marks the end of his long exile through countless centuries as he hails back the lost sheep to his fold. The Master is the kind shepherd who, out of compassion, does all this for erring humanity. Such high souls hold a commission from the Most High. No longer is he an exile in the world, but an inheritor of the kingdom of God, established once more in his native Godhead. This is the true fulfillment of the covenant between God and man, and the true resurrection, or rising from the dead, as vouchsafed by the Son of God to man. This is the fulfillment of God's law and the purpose of human birth. Herein lies the greatness of master souls. They effect a reunion between man and God. The long-drawn period of separation comes to an end, and the lost child is restored once again to the Father. It marks the grand homecoming through endless trials and tribulations. The saving grace of God is stirred by the God-man, and the purpose of life is fulfilled. Henceforth, the Son and the Father are not only reconciled, but become one. It is a question of grafting. Grafting a branch of one tree into another tree. What happens? The fruit of the second tree, while retaining the shape and color of its own, acquires the taste and flavor of the other. This is exactly what happens when the guru power or life impulse of the guru works upon the disciple. While remaining as before, the disciple is now no longer his previous self, for he has been bought with a ransom. To be one with God, fana fil Allah, one has first to be one with the God-man, fana fil Sheikh. This is the easiest way to reach God. We have as yet no experience of God and have therefore no conception of Him nor of His powers. Our knowledge of Him, however little it may be, is a secondary one, derived from the study of books or heard from persons as ignorant of Him as we are. In such a state, we can contemplate nothing. But there may be a person who may have direct knowledge of God and be inwardly in tune with the infinite. There is a peculiar charm in his company. His weighty words of wisdom at once sink deep into the mind. His utterances, charged with his power, have a magnetic influence. One feels a kind of serenity and an inward calm in his holy presence. He does not reason of God. He simply talks of him with authority because he has a first-hand knowledge of him and consciously lives in him every moment of his life. Such a person may be termed a prophet, a Messiah, or a God-man. The Gospel tells us that God speaks through his prophets, or the chosen ones. It is but a natural thing. Man alone can be a teacher of man, and for God's science, we must have some God-man to teach us that. Sant Sat Guru is the pole from where God's light is reflected. From him alone we can know of the path leading to God, and he can be a sure guide who can be depended upon in weal or woe, both here and hereafter. From what has been said above, it naturally follows that God-man or Sant Sat Guru is the right person to be approached in the first place, and to whom all our prayers should be addressed. Faith is the keynote of success in all our endeavors. We must then have firm and full faith in the competency of the Master. With love and humility, we must make an approach to him if we want to make a beginning in the spiritual science. We must pray to him sincerely from the depth of our heart. We should think it fortunate indeed if in his grace he accepts us for imparting knowledge of self and knowledge of God, which in fact is the seed knowledge from which all knowledge springs. We should go to the Sadhguru and plead to him to take us out of here. He has the love, and we are prisoners. He also has come as a prisoner just for our sakes. He put on this bag of filth, this human form, just to release us. Oh, Sadhguru, if you do not help us, then who can? He who has left the house and is standing on the roof can catch hold of another's hand and drag him up. The powerful guru drags the soul out. By giving a boost, the complete master gives an experience of rising above the body consciousness. We need this help. Otherwise, how would we rise above by ourselves? We get an inner contact and a taste of the Maharas, the greater nectar which withdraws one completely from the outer attractions. So with Nam, the mind can be controlled, and to receive connection with Nam, one must go to the Satguru. How does one determine a great master? Swamiji Maharaj in Sarvakan has answered this question very beautifully. He exhorts that as and when you hear about a saint or master, just go to him, and in deep humility and reverence, sit near him. Just look into his eyes and forehead, like a child, with deep receptivity. You will feel an upward pull of the soul and divine radiation from his eyes and forehead. Besides, if you have any questions in your heart, these will be answered automatically by his discourse without your effort. over and above all the testing criterion for the perfect master, is to have the conscious contact of holy Nam within, the lowest links of which in the form of divine light and holy sound current must be had on initiation. Again, he should be competent to afford guidance for his initiates in the astral plane and must protect the soul at the time of their physical death. When you go to a God-realized man with full sincerity and humility, question him as much as you like, and when you are satisfied, take his path and work for it. You should also remember that no true master will impose his will on anyone, but he will develop one's better understanding until the subject has some appeal. Man hesitates and fears to approach a master saint because his living is tarnished, maybe less in one and more in another. Never fear to go to a master saint because you are a sinner. He is meant more for sinners than for others. He has a remedy for every wound. Approach him, and through him will be found a way to become rid of sin. If one is far away, he can be contacted through correspondence. He has means and methods to meet every case. He is competent. Godmen come into the world not to make any new laws, nor to destroy the laws as they exist, but only to uphold the universal divine law, unchangeable as it is. Their message is one of hope, fulfillment, and redemption for those in search of the divine in man, and as such, they constitute a great cementing force transcending all denominational creeds and faiths and presenting a workable way out of theoretical polemics of the so-called religious strongholds. They soar high into the ethereal atmosphere of the spirit and, like a skylark, establish an abiding link between the mundane life on earth and the free and untarnished spiritual haven. All religions are theirs, and yet none binds them, for they place before humanity what is essentially sublime in essence at the core of each. They do not come to establish a new religion, and they preach from no particular script. From their celestial abode, they come with a law peculiar unto themselves, and this is why the worldly people often fail to understand them. As for the strict trials and tests of fitness, it is gratifying to know that these have been done away with during this Kali Yuga, or Iron Age. But, whenever necessary, they do put searching questions to the aspirants. The Master always speaks with an authority born of conviction, for he has a first-hand knowledge of everything, which comes from his direct communion with the universal cause or original source. Every word uttered by a saint is pregnant with unalterable truth which lies far beyond the human ken. They are the mouthpiece of God, and whatever they utter comes to them from above, though it may appear to be coming from mortal throats. Whoever has the sincere yearning for the Lord will most definitely get him. Many will say, "I want God," but they should analyze their desire and see why they are wanting God. It will be discovered that they really want the health of their children, wealth, name and fame, the removal of their unhappiness, or peace in the hereafter, and many other things. Everyone seeks solicited favors. No one really wants God and God alone. All cry out for worldly satisfaction, and God goes on granting their wishes. The Father Kirpal, merciful, has ordered thus, whatever a child wants, he shall be given. And he who truly desires the Lord and the Lord alone, most definitely he will get his heart's desire. Such single-pointed devotion is the ideal condition for realizing the Lord. I do not want Swarg, or heaven, or Vaikunth, the higher heaven. I only want to repose in the lotus feet of my Guru. How can one reach God if one desires the fruits of this world or the next? Comb your heart and find out if you truly want the Lord. True desire does exist, but it is very rare. The first thing for man is to rise to God's level. In the God-man, God is fully manifested. If we become Guru-man, we rise to the level of God, and we begin to see the power and spirit of God in Him. We can neither visualize God nor contemplate Him, as He is formless. In the Guru, He assumes a form. Devotion to Guru, then, is devotion to God in Him. Guru, in fact, is not the body, but the God power working in and through that body. He is the human pole on which the divine power works and carries on the work of regeneration. This power neither takes birth nor does it die. It eternally remains the same. You may call him by any name you like, Guru, Sadhu, Mahatma, Master, or anything else. When they asked Hazur what to call him, he said, "Call me brother, or think of me as a teacher, or equal to your father, but live according to my advice, and when you reach the higher regions and see there the glory of the Guru, you may say what is in your heart." To love, revere, and feel grateful to our fellow man is to love and revere God. So too, the love for the visible Master, our closest connecting link with God, is in reality love for the Supreme Father. It has spirituality as an end and is not idolatry. The atmosphere in which such a genuine master moves is charged with currents of peace and love which affect those who come into contact with him. Even letters written by or on behalf of him carry a current of ecstasy that influence the innermost recesses of the heart. Guru precedes God. Thus, God moves as an ordinary man in disguise. As a man externally, no one can recognize him except one who contacts the Master Saint within. This is according to the divine science, the laws he has laid down for man's use. Externally, if one takes a master saint as an ordinary man, he can derive no benefit from him. If one accepts him as a superman, the benefit is much more. If one takes him as all in all, the benefit becomes a truly great blessing. When he contacts the Master within, He receives all and everything. Master can know everything about the person meeting him, yet he behaves in such a manner that the others may not feel embarrassed with such an attitude, and tries to meet the humans on their own level. He sees us just as we can see what there is in a glass bottle, pickle, or jam, but in his sheer graciousness, tries to hide the facts, lest these actions are considered as transgressions in the ethical code. An initiate of a competent living master carries the radiant form of the master at the eye focus, which can be detected and seen by the living master. He is a law unto himself and can bestow his divine blessings on anyone of his own choice. But the start should not be considered as the end. It is a lifelong struggle and strenuous effort of the disciple which he or she is required to undergo for the growth of his or her inner spiritual illumination has to be taken care of. As a matter of fact, ever since the disciple is granted the sacred boon of holy initiation, he or she is granted a complete visa for entering the inner realms up to the true home of the Father. But there are very few who labor much and lead the life as enjoined by the Master and can progress within. Please refer to the Japji Stanza 33 in this behalf, where it has been explained at length. It says, "You have no power to speak or be silent, no power to ask or to give. You have no power over life or death, no power over wealth or state for which you are ever restless. You have no power over spiritual awakening, no power to know the truth or to achieve your own salvation. Let him who thinks he has the power try. O Nanak, none is high or low but by his will." Japji 33. Without a God-man, the mystery of the soul is never realized. It remains a sealed book. The ascent of the soul to the highest regions is impossible unless one is ushered into those planes. Of course, one may be able to withdraw the spirit current within the eyes from the body through Simran or see some light at times, but there is nothing to take or guide him upward. Many were held in these elementary stages for ages and ages, and no help came to guide them up. Some have called this stage the be-all and end-all, but they still linger at the outskirts of grosser matter and in the stronghold of the finer matter. It is here that the help of some competent body is needed to extricate the devotees from the iron hold of the subtle matter. That somebody should be the man who has gone through the different stages of spiritual development and traveled to the region of pure spirit, the Sat Nam, far beyond the hold of matter. When a guru initiates a disciple on this path, he will not leave him until he has taken him to the lap of Sat Purush, God in his true form. After that, the Sat Purush will take him to Alak, Agam, and Anami, stages of imperceptible, inconceivable, and nameless God. A guru's duty is very exacting. In truth, a guru is God himself. In whichever pole God has manifested himself, that pole is known as Sadhu, Sant, or Mahatma, or Master. He never says, I am the doer, but always refers to the will of God. It is God's law that nobody can reach Him except through a master soul. This is what is given out by almost all the saints who have come so far. Positive and negative powers are the two phases of Absolute, deriving power from Him. The functions of these powers are diverse. One is for the inner recession beyond the senses, whereas the other leads outward. A master of the highest order initiates the souls into the mysteries of the beyond for proceeding back to the true home of the Father. His mission is purely spiritual, based on ethical living. The negative power is the controlling force of this plane and demands adjustment of each farthing in accordance with the law of karma. The initiates are advised in their own spiritual interest to abide by the holy commandments to incur the least karma, and by attuning themselves with the holy Nam within to evade the load by reposing in His will and pleasure. Every pleasure has its price. This is the law of this power. The spiritual aspirant should regulate their lives to strict spiritual discipline and pursue such a sublime pattern of life. You are in the custody of a true master from the very day he gives initiation. He becomes the very breath of the disciple. Baba Sawan Singh Ji used to say that from the day the master gives the blessings of Nam, the guru becomes the indweller, along with the soul. From that very moment, he starts forming the child with love and protection, until ultimately he takes him into the lap of the Oversoul. Until that time, he does not leave him for 1 minute. It is merely out of his innate compassion that he rears us with his own life breaths of the divinity in him. And here I will stop and state that tonight's reading was from the teachings of Kirpal Singh, Volume 1, The Holy Path, in the chapter called The Way Out, Guru, the Greatest Gift of God. Thank you, gracious Master.
Thank you, Christine, for reading for us. There were 59 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So, I love you as friends, I would say. I regard you as the children of light. Because I love God, and that light is everywhere, so I have to love you and I regard to you as well.